and pray and get some insight from the Lord. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Lord, we're so thankful for the Holy Ghost that's our helper. So this morning as I minister, I thank you that I minister the words of God for this service. That Father, whatever you want said would be said here today. Whatever you want done would be done here this morning, Father. And we only seek your plan and your purpose for this service. And we believe that that's what will be accomplished here today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, I'm going to start my timer here. And I'm going to turn there with you. 1 John chapter 4. The word's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Now we're gonna practice saying something together this morning. And we're going to go ahead and just start it right now. I want you to say this after I say it. Say, I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
Say it again. I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
Amen. You know, the Bible says we have what we say. So this morning, we're going to learn how to be overcomers. We already are, praise the Lord, but we're just going to have that faith reinforced in us today. You know, this message, as I was putting it together, I told my wife last night, I said, I tell you something, that was good, but I think it was for me more than anybody else in that place. So you just get to listen in while I preach to myself today. A mirror doesn't do me as much justice because there's nobody to say amen on the other side. So today, good morning. This is Reverend Scott's message to himself. So thanks for being here today. But you know, it's important for us to be reminded of these things because in life, the Bible tells us that, you know, James said, count it all joy when you encounter diverse trials and temptations. So that means that he said when it's going to happen. So that tells us that it's going to happen. And it's not a lack of faith to think that, you know, we're going to encounter trials and temptations in life. That's just part of life on earth. Until we're in heaven, there's going to be stuff for us to deal with. But we are overcomers. And it's important for us to be reminded of those things because sometimes, you know, life has its own pressures, right? Life has its things that it likes to throw at you. And sometimes maybe those things start to stick a little bit. And we just have to, you know, shake them off, put a little bit more nonstick spray on ourselves and just let it go, right? Move on from them. So we're going to be refreshed this morning. We're going to be helped today. And we're going to be reminded that we're overcomers, that no matter what we go through in life, we get through them victoriously. You know what makes the believer different from the person in the world? It's not necessarily the stuff that they go through. I mean, none of us as believers, I should say, no one in the world that I know has necessarily gone through what the Apostle Paul went through. But he was a believer, right? He was stoned. He was, boiled. I mean, he was up, down, and sideways. That man had a hard life, naturally speaking. But he was a child of God. What was different about him? He knew how to overcome them. He knew how to get through them. No matter what he experienced externally, it never got inside of him. It never took him out. It never knocked him down. And I don't know about you, but I am tired of seeing Christians get knocked out. I am tired of seeing believers get taken out. You know, I've been saved now for, 17? So 15 years this year I've been a believer. And in that time, I have seen so many friends, so many dear ones that held place in my heart walk away from the things of God. Why? The pressures and temptations of life got too much for them to handle. It became more, they forgot that they were an overcomer. So we have to remind ourselves continually. There's no point that we ever have to stop reminding ourselves that we're overcomers. Because there's not a point that those things we go through are going to stop happening. So as long as they happen, we've got to know how to get through them. And I believe we will. Amen?
Amen.
None of us are going down. I'm tired of seeing people going down. Say, I'm not going down. Amen. I believe it. Praise the Lord. So in verse 4, 1 John 4, 4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So this is our scripture here. This is the one we're going to go back to time and again today because it says, and have overcome them. What's them? The adversities of this life. The stuff that's going to come against us. The stuff that we might go through, the pressures of life. We have overcome them. The Bible promises it to us. And so we're going to look at three parts of the scripture that tell us here what equips us to be overcomers. What makes us an overcomer? Because it's not there's a word because after have overcome them. And so we're going to see some of the keys here that we have to put into practice to make sure that we qualify ourselves to be overcomers in this life. Amen? The first part says, you are of God, little children. Now we'll just go over this real quick, but it's important. We don't want to not shine light on it. You are of God. That means first and foremost, to be an overcomer, you have to be of God. What does that mean? You have to be born again. have to be walking with the Lord. Jesus Christ has to live in our heart. What does that mean? When Jesus came to the earth, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead so that we could be saved. Being born again is just accepting that. And when we do, we enter into the family of God. There's salvation 101 in 10 seconds, all right? We just did a quick rundown for you. But we can't expect Jesus to bear the weight of the trials of life if we haven't made him Lord of our life. You know, my children, they can expect certain things of me because they're my children, right? They can expect a house. They can expect food in the fridge at all times, usually, right? If we remember to go food shopping until it's too late and then we're having peanut butter and jelly or cereal for dinner. But that's what grace is for, right? Don't judge me like you've never done it. I love cereal for dinner. It's one of my favorites. But my kids can expect certain things from me. And no matter how much, but other kids can come into my house. You know, they may have friends that come over. And I may want to bless those kids. I want to bless my kids. I want to bless other people's kids. I just want to be a blessing to people, right? But no matter how much I want to, there may be some things that I can't do for those other kids that I can do for my own. Why? If their parents don't want those things to be done, then I have no right to do them in their life. I'd be overstepping my bounds. Well, the Bible tells us, and this might be a harsh truth for us to realize, but Jesus Christ said it. Yes, Jesus Christ, the same one that preaches love, grace, and forgiveness, said this, that if we have not made him Lord of our life, that the devil's Lord of our life. Satan himself is Lord of the life of people that haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. So what does that mean? That if do you think the devil wants people blessed? No, so no matter how much God may want to, until they make the decision to make him Lord of their life, his hands are tied. He can't do anything. Now, it's not necessarily their fault. You know, the world's not out there actively worshiping the devil, but the Bible says that the devil has blinded the eyes of their hearts. That means they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know how off they are. That's our job as believers, is to go out and tell them the good news, to share the gospel with them, so that not only can they be overcomers, but they can get into heaven and spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven, which is so much better than the alternative, because there is a hell, and we don't want to go there. Amen? So if we're going to be overcomers, we have to be of God, first and foremost. We have to be of God. We have to be children of God. And we'll give an invitation at the end of service. I don't know everybody here today. Maybe we have some visitors. But if you want all the good stuff, and we're going to get into the good stuff here today. You know what I'm doing is this is just the appetizer, right? We're going to get in. Wait till you see the meal that's coming after this. I mean, you can smell it cooking here, right? But if you want that, if you want the things that we're going to talk about today, first and foremost, we have to be of God. That's what it says here. So the next part, to be an overcomer, first, we have to be of God, be born again. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And here we go. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The first part I want to look at is greater is he. Greater is he. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6 in your scriptures. And that's actually the title of today's message. Greater is he. He's so good. As I was praying, getting ready for this morning, I was taking my dog for a walk the other night, and that phrase just rose up within me. Greater is he. Greater is he. And this whole message dropped in my heart as I walked around the block. Praise the Lord. So, greater is he. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we say greater is he, what I'm talking about is remembering that no matter what we're going through, we put God first in those situations because he is greater. Because he's more than our situation. Anytime that we take a situation and we place more value on that situation than on the Lord, we're not going to be overcomers. That's the key to it, is remembering greater is he. That no matter what life starts to throw at you, greater is he. So how do we apply this in our life? Well, you know, maybe there's been times, I remember when my first son Joshua was born. He's 6.5 years old now. About 6 weeks after he was born, I've shared this here before, but Pastor Michael asked me to come and minister in the Fredonia Church for the first time. I was 23 years old. I wasn't expecting to preach for years. I knew I was called to it, but I wasn't expecting it to happen that soon. And Pastor Michael asked me to minister. I said, well, you know, you don't say no. So I said, okay, I don't know what to do, but okay. And, you know, so I got that call on a Tuesday. It was in the mid-afternoon. I got that call on my cell phone, and I said, yes, sir, I will. I'll be ready for the following Sunday. So then, the next day I went to work. That was a Wednesday, January 19th, 2010. I remember it very well. And as I'm sitting there in my workplace, it's about 11 a.m., and I left work and I went over to the church because I served part-time at the church at that time, and work was flexible, so I was over at the church and I got a phone call from somebody that said, we're closing down. I said, what are you talking about? We're closing down. I said, well, we're closing down. So I called my boss, and I went right to voicemail. I said, oh, that's not good. If your boss ignores your call when you hear you're closing down, that's probably not a good sign. And, well, needless to say, it wasn't. I went back for a work meeting that afternoon, found out I'd been laid off. The whole company was shutting down. So that's the day after I preach. The day after that, I'm driving my vehicle, and I had to run to Walmart and go back home to see my wife and our newborn son, 6 weeks old. And my engine blows on the side of the road on Route 60, and I had to get a tow truck out of there. And I say, all right, I'm preaching. That's good. I got laid off, and my engine just blew. I said, where's my dog? Because I'm writing a country song, right? That was the next. That's what I'm expecting is coming next here. I wasn't expecting it to happen. You know, that was a joke. That was another one of those. I do that sometimes, all right? But I had a, we had a decision. We had to make some choices at that time. Because when things get tight, naturally speaking, you have to choose. Am I still going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? You know, in that time, we had some income coming in, not much. My wife wasn't working. I wasn't working. I was just volunteering. But we had so much money come in during those 2 months. You never would have known that I wasn't employed. Because God's so good. He takes care of us. But because we chose to seek him first, we recognized greater is he than this situation. You know, you may be up against a situation. Now, naturally speaking, of course, if you get laid off, your tithe is going to go down, right? Tithe is 10% of our income. So if our income's cut, our tithe is going to go down. But the heart towards our giving, do we sit down and we look, okay, Katie and I went over our books and we said, all right, here's what, you know, we need to cut back on some things because we have to start living with a different mindset here, not out of fear, but out of wisdom. You know, you can't spend more than you make. And so we sat back and we went over things and we purposed in our hearts, we are not going to cut back from the things of God. We are not. We may have, our tithe may have gone down, but we still gave. We still sought him. We still looked for opportunities to give to him. Why? Because greater is he. And if I cut him off, then I cut off the greater in my life, and I'm not an overcomer. And now I'm here today. I got my job back 2 months later. We made barely anything that whole year, but God still took care of us. We didn't go under. We stayed above. Amen? Because he's so faithful. But you know, what's the first thing in our life? When things get busy, where do we look to cut? Is it church? If it's church, he's not greater. And you're not an overcomer, right? Let's be sober about these things. We have to recognize them. Where's the areas? When things get, I don't want to say stressful because we don't have stress, but when life starts to get to shuffling, right? Things start happening. Things are moving quick. You got to make a choice. What's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what. The last thing that we will cut is church. The absolute last thing. Why? This is where my help is. This is where I come to be filled up. This is where I come to hear about the Word of God by someone equipped to preach it to me. Church would never be something I would sacrifice in my life. Why? Because greater is he. Greater is he. And I want to be an overcomer, so we live greater is he. You know, maybe you go to the doctor. The doctor gives you a word. You've only got so many, you know, well, that's a harsh word. You've only got so many months to live. Let's do something a little bit lighter where most of us probably are, right? You have X illness. You need to start taking XXX medication. Hopefully those don't do anything to you. If you did, here's YYY medications. And if those things don't work still, then we'll throw these in too just for good measure. They're practicing medicine, right? But when you get that word from the doctor, which word has a greater weight in your life? That word from the doctor that says you have X illness, or this word that says by his stripes I've been healed? Whichever word has a greater weight in your life is the one that's going to equip you to either overcome or be taken out by that situation. And we're overcomers, right? Say, I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
That's right. So we know that when those words come, we put the word of God above those words. You know, something that came out in Olean last night that I didn't think of it before the service, and I think it'll help. It helped me. I'm going to start doing it. You know, and maybe you get a bill in the mail, or you get a report from the doctor, and that comes on a piece of paper, right? What I said last night that came out is I want to start taking scriptures that apply to that specific situation. If it's a report from the doctor, I'm going to print out healing scriptures. Or if it's a bill that I don't know that where the money's going to come from to pay it, I'm going to print out provision scriptures, and I'm going to staple it on the top of that bill. So every time I have to go to that bill, I see the word first, and I remember which one's greater. Which one is greater in my life? Because I'm not giving some doctor's report, I'm not giving some bill more weight in my life than the Word of God. Because the Word of God himself is greater, and that's what equips us to be overcomers. And I'm an overcomer. I don't know about you, but I'm an overcomer. So, we've got to put him first. Let's go to Scripture and see this in action. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. We look at lessons in the Word, and then we look at examples of it in the Word to see how to put it into practice. We're overcomers this morning. Praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 13. And where we're going to pick up here, I'm in the wrong chapter. That was confusing. We're going to pick up in verse 26. And what's going on here is the Israelites have just left Egypt. They left it a while before this. But they've walked through the wilderness, and they finally got to the land of Canaan, the promised land that the Lord had spoken to them was for them. This is the fruition of everything that he had promised them. This is the land of milk and honey. This is the land flowing with goodness and all the supply you could ever need in your life. And so they're walking to this place, and they get there. And they see that, what they did is they took 12 spies, they called them, from the 12 tribes of Israel, and they sent these 12 spies into the land of Canaan to survey it, to see what was ahead of them. You know, it's good to use wisdom in business. It's good to use wisdom. They made up a word for you this morning. That wasn't my nickname, if you're wondering, either. Wisdom. Nope. So we're going to pick up here in verse 26. This is after the spies returned from the land of Canaan after searching it. It says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of Israel, of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and threw back and brought back word to them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So here, this is the first part of their report they're bringing back. And this is great news, right? Oh, look, everything in this land is exactly what God said it was going to be. This is that provision he told us about. This is that deliverance that we were believing for. You know, maybe you come to church and pastor preaches a good faith message and it inspires you. That's what I need. That's what I'm believing for. That's when you take hold of it. You're showing that, yeah, this is God. This is what I was believing for. But then something else happened. Things kind of went a little bit downhill after that. And we'll pick up in verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You know, verse 28, nevertheless. You know what nevertheless is King James for? But. So here's the great, wonderful promise of God, but. Right? They threw a but in there. Forgive me for saying this. Keep your butts to yourselves. Right? If God comes before you with a plan, with a promise, don't throw a but in there. You know, yes, God wants me healed, but. No, then you're not going to be an overcomer. If you want to live life under, go for it. We're not camping out there, right? We're overcomers. So we don't throw our butts in. We keep those to ourselves. And I think what happened here to the Israelites, have you ever gotten an inkling of the will of God for your life? Because God's not going to show us the whole thing up front, because then it wouldn't take any faith to do it. It would just, you know, this is from here until you die, go live. Well, that's great. Now I'm just a robot for the rest of my life. There's no faith attached to it. And faith pleases God. It's the only way to please God. Hebrews tells us that. So we have to have faith. So he's not going to show us the whole plan of God for our life up front. What he's going to do is give us the next step. Give us a little inkling maybe of what's ahead in our future. Well, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done this. I know I have. You take those little inklings and you start to put your own spin on it. And you start to think, yeah, I see that. That's probably going to turn into this. And then that's going to be this. And then, oh yeah, that's really good. And then something happens that's the will of God that isn't quite what you thought it was going to be. And suddenly, what? You're let down. The wind's out of your sails. Why? Because you started puffing your own wind in your own sails going a different direction. And now you're sitting out there stagnant in the water wondering what's going on. Right? We have to make sure we stay in God's flow for our life. You know, I come home from work in the evenings. And, it's summertime, we'll keep the windows open. And I'll get out of the truck in the driveway. And whatever my wife's cooking for dinner, I might smell it. Right, I get in that driveway, I open the door, oh yeah, that's such and such, right? I love Mexican food, so say I open the door and I smell something that I think is Mexican food cooking, well that's great. And this happened before actually, it did. And I smell this and I said, oh, I'm so excited for that, that's exciting, that's a promise right there, that's my promised land, right through that door, I'm excited for this. And I smelled it and I started to think, yeah, that's what she made, I can't wait, it's going to taste so good. Well, I get in the house. That's not what she made. I don't know why it smelled like what she made, but it wasn't what she made. And so I had to put it on and say, yeah, I'm really excited. Thank you for cooking dinner. Even if it wasn't, and I was still grateful for it, of course, but what happened? I put my own spin on it. I put my own thoughts on it. So when I was encountered with something different, it didn't seem as good to me as what I was expecting. When God gives us that little sniff of what's coming in your life, be careful not to try and finish the book yourself, right? We live by faith. We just trust Him that He's going to take us through and that it's going to be good, whatever He has for us. It was still good. It just wasn't what I was expecting. So what happened? I got all worked up and, you know, emotional. And it is this a, yes, food is obviously a big deal to me, okay? So yeah, it did. I didn't stumble on it, if that's what you're asking, but it was a thing, all right? Praise the Lord. It was enough to bring to a sermon illustration today. So we'll just take that. So what happened here in the Old Testament is the same thing happened to the Israelites. They had this beautiful vision of the promised land, that they were what? Just going to walk into it. I didn't dismiss the children's church. They went though. Did they all go? Okay. Whew. I just saw a kid leave and I'm like, oh no. Don't let them hear me. Get them out where they... No. But so where was I? I just lost it all after that. So they have this vision of what the promised land is going to look like. And they think, well, I don't know what they thought was going to happen. If they're just going to walk into it, and all the people that live there are just going to bow down and say, oh, Israelites, this is yours. Here, have all that's ours. You know, I'll just lay here. You just cut off my head. I'll just lay here. Well, here you go. This is me. I'm here for you. I don't know if that's what they thought was going to happen. So when they got in there and that wasn't what was going to happen, it threw them for a loop a little bit. And what happened? All the wind dropped from their sails and they lost faith, all but two of them. All but two of them lost faith because it wasn't what they were expecting. What happened? They forgot that greater is He. They forgot that greater is He, that He is greater. Yes, there was a land that had to be possessed, but greater is He than any of the enemies they would have come up against. What do we have? The Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, any of the ites in your life, God's greater. No matter what the world or the enemy is throwing at us, God is greater. And the second we lose sight of that is the second that we drop out. They didn't get to enter the promised land. They weren't overcomers. But two of them. Verse 30. Still up there. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. People before Moses. What a sight this will be. When we get to heaven and we get to watch the reruns of the world, I'm going to watch this scene and I can't wait to see it. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Can you imagine how he felt? I know I keep stopping. But imagine how he felt for a second there. All this doubt and unbelief surrounding him and the faith that he had that God was greater. You know, faith hates doubt and unbelief. Faith wants nothing to do with it. So imagine Caleb. He stood up there on whatever. I don't know if he was on a rock or what. And he said, still, be still. Wait, this isn't faith. What are you doing? If something is in your life and faith, doubt and unbelief are attacking you, no, you stand up on the inside and say, be still. None of this. Faith is greater. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's a faith confession right there, that no matter what the enemy's throwing at us, greater is He, and we are well able to overcome it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Greater is He. Amen? Amen? Faith won't tolerate unbelief. You know, there's been, I'm going to share a little bit later about our son Joshua. I know I've shared it here before. But when we were going through a trial with him where we had to believe God for his healing, you know what we didn't do? I hope this doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not coming back next week if it does. So you can throw your stones at me, and it'll be an empty pulpit. All right? I didn't go ahead and post anything online. I didn't post a prayer request anywhere for people to start praying. Why? 10 out of 12 people had no faith. 10 out of 12 people were not overcomers. How much more in the world today? Right? I'd rather have 3 people believing God the right way than 200 people releasing their lousy lack of faith over my kid. So if you're going through something, keep your mouth shut except to confess. Praise the Lord for this healing. Talk to your pastor about it if you need to, your spouse. Get in agreement with somebody that you know has the same faith that you have. But don't throw it out there for anybody to trash on and trample on. Your faith is precious. Amen. Greater is He. If we're overcomers, we've got to live a different life. If we're overcomers and we want to succeed, that's how we have to live. Praise the Lord. God's promised you healing. He's promised us prosperity. He's promised us peace and victory. And all it takes when opposition comes to seal those things from our life is no, greater is He. I am well able to overcome this because greater is He. Amen? Praise the Lord. Say, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. You know, I'll give you this illustration. Maybe this will help you. My mom was a school bus driver. I loved it. I loved her driving the school. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. My mom driving this big old bus around town. And she drove this school bus, and every morning I'd go with her to the bus depot. And we'd get there, and she'd have to start up her bus. And then she'd have to do something called pre-trip her bus. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, but she had to check everything, make sure that all the safety features were working on the bus. That's a good thing to do, right? Make sure there's air pressure in the braking system. That's important. Make sure the doors, the turn signals, the brakes, the headlights, the windshield wipers, all those things are working. Then she'd get out of the bus and she'd walk around and she'd check the lug nuts on the wheels to make sure that they were on there good and tight. And then she'd kick the tire. Why would she do that? To make sure that there's enough pressure in that tire. Now I want you to picture something for a second. Picture yourself as the rim of that wheel. I don't know if, you know, I know we're getting cars here, so if I lose you, forgive me. We'll pick up another illustration later that I'm sure you can grab hold of. But picture yourself as the rim of that tire. That rim was not meant to travel down the road on its own. That rim was not meant to hit a pothole. That rim was not meant to carry any weight. It was just meant to be in position so that it could get where it needed to go. That rim, if you've ever had a flat tire, I was driving a trailer a few weeks ago and I was pulling a tractor on it and the trailer tire blew out and the rim was on the ground. Thankfully, I was about 200 feet from a place that repairs tires. Well, that's good. That's favor right there. Amen? But if I had to go any length of distance, I had to get that tractor off of there. Why? That rim was not equipped to handle the weight of that tractor. It would have bent. It would have gotten dinged up. It would have gotten broken. So what do we do with those rims? Well, we put tires around them. Right, those tires, as long as there's enough pressure in them, are equipped that whatever pothole comes against them. A rim can't run more than a few miles without getting messed up. But a tire can run for thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. Why? It's equipped to handle the pressure. You're the rim, Jesus is the tire. Amen. We're not meant to experience the pressures of life. We're not meant to hit those potholes. He takes them for us. Greater is He. That when we're going down the road and you may feel a little bump, you may feel something in your life, but Jesus should be absorbing the weight of that for you. The Word of God takes a greater precedence over that, and that rules over the situation because greater is He, and we're overcomers. So what happens if you got a low tire? Well, what do you do naturally? You pump some air into it, right? Now, you're not going to do this for a school bus. Yeah, and I'm thinking none of us are that strong. Maybe Vinny. I don't know. Maybe Vinny could inflate a school bus tire like that, but I know I can't. So what happens? You go and you fill up that tire with some air, right? So what happens? You're going through life. You're feeling the pressures. Maybe the potholes are having a little bit more weight than they used to. You're feeling them a little bit more. You're starting to feel a little bit dinged up. What do? You get your air canister. You hook it up to your tire. You pressure some things into it so that the pressure inside is greater than what's opposing it from the outside. If you feel like you're getting deflated, put some air into it. What does that mean? Meditate on scriptures. Find promises of God that apply to that situation because that's what's meant to bear the pressure of what we're going through. Not us. Amen? He's so good. He's so good. You know, I'll give you another illustration. Well, not an illustration, but this is a story. And I'll tell you what. I cried last night sharing this in Olean, and I'm going to endeavor to get through it this morning. All right, but we'll go through this. So my son Joshua, I've shared his testimony here before. He's 6.5 years old. He's a sweet little boy. I know we don't have favorite children. I'm just going to say that. No, I'm just kidding. I love all my kids. But Joshua and I have a special relationship because when I was laid off, I was home with him for a while when my wife was working. And so we, you know, latched on. Whatever. There you go. Insight into my life. All right. There's your therapy session for today. But so when Joshua was born, I know I've shared this here before. He was born not breathing, not moving or anything like that. You know, we were in the delivery room. And I remember, as clear as day, I remember, because they, you know, my wife had given birth to him, and the doctor was taking care of her, and Joshua was with the nurses over on that little warming table that they have there. And while he's laying on that table, you know, I've seen enough birthing shows to know, you say, yeah, I have seen them. Why? People are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and I want to know what's going on. I don't want to be ignorant to any of this stuff. I wanted to know what I was supposed to expect at that time. So, you know, what I know is that, okay, when a baby's born, they're supposed to cry. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it means that they're alive and healthy and strong and they've got good lungs, they're getting oxygen, they're supposed to cry. So I'm sitting here in this room and Joshua's not crying. Not only isn't he crying, but he's not moving. He's limp like a wet noodle. He's white turning purple and blue and all these different colors. And you know something's going on and the doctor's trying to reassure us. I'm like, yeah. You keep talking, buddy. And the thoughts are coming. Thoughts are coming, right? You know, what's going on? Why isn't this? This isn't right. What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? Thoughts are slamming you in that time. And I remember looking over at the nurses, because there were two nurses, one on each side of the station with him. And the one nurse, you know, they're slapping him around, because they're at this point, they're doing whatever it takes to get the kid to cry, right? They're slapping him around, doing whatever. And the one nurse looks up at the other nurse. Oh, whoa. I mean, you want to talk about thoughts start coming. You want to talk about an ite in your life, right? How about that? I mean, it just, the thoughts were slamming me at that time that why did she make that face? That's not good. They don't say, they don't shake their head and look sad. This is, they know what they're doing here. What's going on? So the thoughts are coming. Now, I wasn't freaking out or anything. I was maintaining my composure. I was being peaceful. And I was just, you know, under my breath, I was praying. Or at least, you know, just praying. And when she did that, I knew, all right, something's off here. This isn't normal. And so I pointed at him from across the delivery room. I didn't care who was in there. I didn't care who heard me. And I said, "You breathe in Jesus' name." And he started breathing. And glory to God. I mean, that in and of itself. And so we thought, hey, this is, you know, praise the Lord. That's a miracle. Glory to God. We're going to give God glory for it. This is great and wonderful. Well, then, you know, they took him out. They brought him back in. And then they started diagnosing some things. And what happened is he went without oxygen for so long that the doctors told us that he would be disabled. They said that he would have seizures. They said that he would never be able to learn right. That, you know, if he was normal, basically it wouldn't be what we saw as normal. That he would have learning disabilities at the very least. That he wouldn't be able to learn anything. And so we kept releasing faith. We said, no, God is greater. God is greater. God is greater. That no matter what the doctors may say, no matter what the diagnoses are, my God is greater. You know, we got up to Children's Hospital. And I remember, I can imagine, you know, maybe the Israelites went through this when they went into the promised land. And they walked up and they saw, you know, here's the first group of people that they had to overcome. I mean, maybe that took the wind out of their sails a little bit, but they thought, no, maybe God's still big enough. God can still do this. Then they got up to the second group of people they had to overcome. Whew, all right. I mean, God's pretty big. Then they got up to the third people. Finally, that was it. No, we can't do this. This is too much for us. And I remember being up there in the hospital in Buffalo, and every time the doctors would come out to us for the first 5 or 6 days, we were there 10 days, and every time for the first 5 or 6 days, it was a worse report, a worse report, a worse. And we were standing in faith, but we just said, no, God is greater. God is greater. And I stand here today. There I go. I stand here today to testify to you that this year I went to my son's kindergarten graduation and he had straight A's in his school. Glory to God. God's so good. God's so good. Why did that happen? Because greater is he. Greater. I mean, it's just... Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. All right. We'll get through this. We'll get to the other side. No, it does get me going, not because I'm upset that it happened, but because God's so good. God's so good. Why shouldn't we overcome? Do we believe he's good enough or not? He's good enough that he is greater than anything we could go through in this life. Greater is he. Greater is he. And so we are overcomers. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So no matter what comes against you, no matter what the reports might be that you're facing in your life, just sit back, relax, and remember, greater is he. If sometimes you got to stand up on your chair at home and you say, no, my God is well able. I am well able to overcome this. You do it. You do whatever it takes to release your faith over that situation because greater is he. We are overcomers. You know, I just want to share this with you. I don't have a lot of time left, but I will say this much. Pastor Michael shared an illustration one time. It wasn't an illustration. It actually happened. It's so important that we go to the right church. You know, I know people wonder why I'm so thankful for Pastor Michael in my life and his ministry because if it wasn't for what he taught me, I wouldn't have a son today. I mean, that wouldn't have happened, you know? But one other thing about that is just the promises that he taught us that are in Scripture, which is what your pastor teaches you. One time, Pastor Michael was after a service. They used to, you know, we have those cards. I think you have them here, the blue cards, where you can write prayer requests on the back if there's anything you need your pastors to hook up with you on. Well, he was praying over those cards, and he got to a card where a certain woman had said, you know, I need help praying, my sister needs healing, or my cousin needs healing, something like that. And he said, okay, you know, we'll release faith like we always do, and he went to go pray, and the Holy Spirit stopped him and said, no, she'll get what her church teaches. Her church taught that God gives you sickness to teach you a lesson. That's what she was going to experience in her life. So it's so important that we go to the right church, that we go to a place that teaches us from Scripture to show us greater is he. Imagine if no one had ever told you that you were an overcomer. You'd be rolling through life, flopping around, a rim on the ground, dented, bruised, broken. But someone told you. Someone taught you the word. Because God is so good. Greater is he. Greater is he. So the first part is that we have to be born again. We have to be of God. This is how to be an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer. Amen. Second part is that greater is he. God's great enough. God's big enough that whatever it is we're going through, he's big enough to take it. Now the third part that I want to see here Go ahead and turn back to 1 John chapter 4 if you flipped away from it. I told you to hold your place and I didn't hold my place. Forgive me. 1 John 4, 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Just look real quick at the end of that. Than he that is in the world. You know, I mentioned earlier about the Apostle Paul that he didn't let the things he was going through inside of him. Stuff that we go through is meant to stay outside of us. It's not meant to enter into us. What do I mean? I don't have a nail, but imagine that I was holding a nail in my hand this morning. That nail wouldn't do much damage just in my hand, right? It's here. It might be good to useful for something. You know, I'm sure there's nails in these walls somewhere. I don't know how to build things. So I imagine that there's nails somewhere in this room. Somebody used a nail for a good purpose, all right? We'll just say that. That nail's great, grand, and wonderful. Now, imagine I go up next to that tire of that bus with that nail, and I hold the nail next to the tire. Nothing's going to happen. Everything's fine. The tire's still doing its job. Nail's not hurting anybody. It's just outside the tire, living nail little life. Well, imagine then I take that nail, and I poke it into the tire. Suddenly, something's going to happen. That tire's not going to last too much longer. Why? It penetrated to the inside. When you go through the trials of life, don't let them in. Keep them outside. I don't know how else to describe that. It hit me that when we go through things in life, they're meant to stay outside of us. You've all been there, I'm sure, where you're going through something and you know you've taken it. Where this is my burden to bear. If you've done that, kick that nail back out, put some Fix-A-Flat on, and pump some pressure back into that thing, because greater is he. Greater is he than he that's in the world. If it's in the world, keep it in the world where it belongs. Amen. Now, the other factor that's our key to victory, and we're all going to believe God for a miracle that I'm going to get through this before I'm supposed to stop today. But the greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Those two words, in me, they'll change your life. They'll either hinder your way to being an overcomer or they'll make you an overcomer. How do I mean? You know, I grew up in a religion that talked about the greatness of God. That talked about God that could do anything. That talked about God, the great and mighty creator of the universe, and all these wonderful things at his disposal, and things he could do if he wanted to, and all these great things. They thought that he was greater. They thought, greater is he. But what they lost sight of, because it was a religion and there was no relationship there, was the in me. And so nobody in that church was an overcomer. Why? Because God was great and distant, and they couldn't have anything to do with him. He wasn't in them. When you become a child of God, Jesus Christ comes to live in you. And when that happens, you become greater than the situation that you're going through. But we have to make sure that we remind ourselves of those things. You know, I dealt with this for a long time because I had no problem believing that God wanted people blessed. I had no problem believing that, you know, my friends, they would be blessed with things. God would do miracles in their life. And I had no problem believing that, yeah, God wants that for them. Oh, I'm so excited for them. That's wonderful. But I struggled with believing that God wanted to do it for me. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I think we've all faced that at some point in our life where we set the bar so high for qualifying for the greater is he. We set the bar so far and above anything. You know, we need provision in our life. Well, you know, I looked at that person the wrong way. I don't qualify for a supply anymore. I mean, the thoughts will come to you. We set that bar so much higher. Do you know where the bar is? Do you know where God put it? He wrote Jesus on a bar, and he set it on the ground. And all you had to do is step over it when you accepted him into your heart. And now you have everything that belongs to him. When we make that step, when we accept Jesus, everything that heaven itself enjoys, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that, belongs to us. God's not making you jump for his promises. God's not setting, you know, Jen Sir, I don't know if you know who she is. She's from Fredonia. I'm from Fredonia, so I know who she is. She was the gold medal world record setting pole vaulter. All right, and she's from Fredonia, New York. That's pretty cool. And I don't know how high she can pole vault. It's something 15, 16, 17 feet, something like that. Now imagine Jen, who's, you know, she's fit, she's trained her life for this. Imagine she knows that's the point that she can reach. And then they go and set it at 20 feet. She'd never be able to reach it. It would be taunting her. It'd be horrible to her to do that. Why would your father set a bar so high that you can't reach it? That's not God. That's not someone who loves you that gave his son for you. If we're thinking that way, we've got to turn that off and say, no, greater is he, but not just greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Can you put up Colossians 1:27? Colossians 1:27. And we'll read that. This talks about greater is He that is in you. It's not just that God is greater. You got to believe that, but you got to believe that it's in you, that He wants it for you. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here's the end. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. New Living Translation says, and this is the secret, Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in His glory. Assurance of it. You know, when I'm assured of something, that means there's no question in my life about it. I'll tell you something, I am assured that I'm a man. No one could ever convince me otherwise, as long as, no matter what the world is confused and thinking along those lines, I know that I'm a man, and nobody's ever going to tell me anything different of it, right? Well, you ought to know that Christ is in you as much as you know who you are, as much as you know what you are. When a situation comes against you, you know, somebody throws a dress at me, I don't question my manliness, right? I don't say, well, I mean, maybe I'm not. There's a dress right there. So why would it be any different when a situation gets thrown at you? Why do you question your victory in the situation? Why? Because we're not assured of where we stand, right? This is our assurance. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That means everything that belongs to Him belongs to you. Everything, when you look through the Scriptures and you say, if it's good enough for Jesus, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. Praise the Lord. You know, I'll give you this illustration. I was in Greece in high school. I took a trip over to Greece. And there was this canal we went through. I don't know if you heard of it. It's called the Corinth Canal. And it was originally created so that ships didn't have to travel around the Greece peninsula. It was supposed to save them a 430-mile journey and built in the 1800s. But when I landed in Greece, we had to go over a bridge over top of this canal. And so here's this expanse. I mean, it's maybe 300 feet deep. And I'm not sure how wide, maybe 90 feet, something like that. So, I mean, it's a pretty good size. I ain't going to jump it, you know. I mean, it's high off the ground there. But I saw this when I was looking at these scriptures. Imagine yourself standing on one side of that canal. So you can picture in your head, there's two cliffs, it's a pretty straight drop down to water at the bottom. You're standing on one side, and you're looking there, and you've got needs in your life. Maybe you're sick in your body. Maybe you're believing God for finances. Maybe your mind is just tormented, and you need peace more than anything in the world. And you're looking, and on the other side of that canal is heaven. And heaven's over there, and it has all these trucks, semi-trucks. And one of the semi-trucks on the side says, healing. One of the other semi-trucks on the side says prosperity. The other one on the side of it says peace. And they're just waiting there for you to get into your life. Well, what happened? What is the separation between that two? Because greater is He, right? All those things are great. They're grand and wonderful. Greater is He. And I'm over here and I still need Him in my life. Jesus. Jesus came along and He built the bridge between the two. So that those things from heaven, I call them the exports of heaven, could drive across and come into my life. Before I had Jesus, greater is He. God's great. He's wonderful. But until I remember that because of Jesus living in me, that's what makes me an overcomer. That's what qualifies me for His greatness. Because greater is He that's in me. So when those exports of heaven come across into my life through the Jesus bridge, I can take hold of them. I can enjoy them. And then we're overcomers. Then no matter what we're going through, we overcome. Say, I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
Everything that heaven itself enjoys belongs to us. Everything that heaven itself enjoys. Ephesians 1:3 tells us that. A different translation. But just think about that for a second. Do you think there's sickness in heaven? Do you think there's lack in heaven? Does God wake up in the morning with the sniffles? Right? Does the archangel Michael have to do his checking account to make sure that there's enough to pay his electric bill? I mean, no. They never have to deal with those things. So if it's good enough for heaven, that means it's good enough for me. So if we have those things in our life, what do we do with them? Well, we do the same thing Jesus did when something tried to get into His life that wasn't good enough. He saw the fig tree, and it was a lackin, right? It didn't have figs on it like it was supposed to. What did He do? He spoke to it. He said, lack, you have no place in my life. And He didn't try, you know what's interesting? He didn't release faith for the figs to be found on that tree. He was so disgusted with lack that He removed it completely from existence. If you got lack in your life, you speak to that lack and you say, you die, lack. Get out of here. Dry up from the roots and go away. I mean, whatever it is, you don't have room for those things in your life. I don't have room for them in my life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Greater is He that's in us. And we're going to close with this part here. It's important for us to guard our thoughts over these things. If we want to remain overcomers, it's important for us to keep our minds protected. You know, Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We don't look at the fact that thoughts will come to us opposing the will of God. You can't look at them from a place of fear. You know, maybe I say thoughts are going to come from the enemy, and you start thinking, where are they? No, that's not faith, that's fear. Fear looking for thoughts, that's an open invitation for them. You're saying, here, come here, I want to think that way. I'm so afraid I'm going to, I might as well anyways. That's what fear will operate in. But faith operates differently. Faith says, let me at them. Let me at them. Where are those? Where are they? Let them come at me, because I know the word of God. I know greater is he that's in me. So let that thought try and come against me. We stand in faith against it. You know, in wartime, if you ever watch documentaries on World War II, I remember one of the main areas that the enemy will try and target, you know, the good guys going against the bad guys, is they'll try and take out the bridges. Why? Those bridges are the supply lines for the troops. If you can take out a bridge, you can cut off an entire area where they have to then go all these miles out of their way, maybe into enemy territory, where you can cut off bridges, you pretty much cut off the enemy. They're done after that. And the devil knows that. And he wants to go after your Jesus bridge. He wants to take that out. He'll start planting thoughts in your mind against your pastor. He'll start maybe, you know, any relationship that you have. The devil hates relationships because he can't have them. Because he doesn't know covenant. He doesn't understand covenant. He had a covenant with God and he broke it. And so he hates the fact that maybe you're in a marriage and, you know, that covenant relationship, he'll try and take that out. Why? Because if he can take that out, he can take you out. He can cause you to stumble. He can cause you to trip and fall. But he'll come after your relationship with your pastor. He'll come after your relationship with Jesus. And if he can, he'll stand on the side of that canal. I'm not talking to you this to be afraid, but to keep our guard up in faith, because we overcome, right? He'll stand on the side of that canal with his little bazooka gun. And he'll try and shoot out that bridge. And he'll say, here, take this, that relationship. Take this. And if he can cut off that bridge, then he can cut off the exports of heaven into your life. And you can't have the promises of God anymore. And we won't be an overcomer. But if you keep your guard up, you keep on, you're ready for it. That you see that and you take it out before he even gets to the edge of that cliff to fire a missile at you. Whoo, you're living high. You're living as an overcomer. Amen. Are we overcomers this morning? Say, I am an overcomer. Praise the Lord. If you feel the air going out of your tire, pump it up. If you feel like your bridge is getting weak, reinforce it. Do whatever it takes. But remember, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And we'll live life as overcomers. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that it's a help to us, Lord. Father, we believe that we are overcomers, that no trial, no temptation, no pressure that could come against us is greater than you who's equipped us to overcome them. This morning, Lord, we talked about the steps to being an overcomer, that we have to be born again, that we have to remember greater are you, and Father, that we have to recognize that you live in us. But this morning, as I talked about these things, I talked about those promises. And promises of health, promises of prosperity, promises of peace and joy in your life. Peace and joy that you've never known before. This morning, the first step to experiencing those, the first step is you have to build that Jesus bridge. That means that you have to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. You have to make him Lord of your life to do it. He gave his son for us, and all it takes is believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. And we enter into that salvation. We build that bridge so that we can experience all that heaven itself enjoys. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give an invitation for you today. If that's you this morning, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, go ahead and raise your hand now. I don't know everyone here, so I want to give the invitation. Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands for that. We're going to give a second invitation here. If you're here this morning and you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've accepted him into your heart, but maybe your tires run a little flat, or your bridge is in disrepair and needs to be fixed up. You know, the Bible calls that being a prodigal child of God, that you've maybe walked away from God and you need to give your life back to him, to rededicate your life to him today. I'm going to give you an invitation. If that's you, you want to rededicate your life this morning to God, go ahead and raise your hand. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. What we're going to do now is we're all going to pray together as a church family this morning. And if you've already made this decision, pray it again and again. Release faith. It's not going to hurt you. And if this is the first time you're praying it and you didn't raise your hand, it's not the raising of hand that gives you salvation. It's believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. So if you want to be born again today and you didn't raise your hand, you just believe this in your heart as you repeat after me. Those of you who are dedicating, keep your hearts open before the Lord. Open to repentance that, yeah, I was wrong. I stepped away. But Father, I'm running back and I know you're waiting there with open arms for me. So if that's you this morning, we're all going to pray together. Just repeat after me. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him to die on the cross so that I could be saved. This morning, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, Jesus, and thank you for making me a new creation, for cleansing me from all sin. And I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. He's so good, isn't he? Say, I'm an overcomer. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the pressure of life, no matter what potholes you might feel, just remember to keep the pressure in that tire, that Jesus tire. Fill it up with the Word of God. Oh, and you'll get through it to the other side. Glory to God. He's so good, isn't he? Well, I've loved being with you all this morning. Thanks for having me here. And now I believe that there's going to be some fellowship in the old sanctuary, which is down the hall, to the left, to the right, to the left, through the doors. Did I get it right? That's about right, right? So that's that way. Just follow the crowd. Head out. Thank you all. Be blessed. Have a good week. To those who fear yourself, his blessing you have given them forever. And